born for the grace of truth and land. For his fight makes them send him to hell. No city behind them is a bar. And it seems that there is no way out. No offense, no help by the family. But nothing can hear his coming down. Free in a prison at the wall. But the system must send you in the law. Free the people open for our race. And just grow strong each every day. Free the prison at the wall. But the system must send you in the law. Free the people open for our race. And just grow strong each every day.
Welcome to Voice of Albion on Renegade Broadcasting. Today's date is the 3rd of November, December 2014. My guest tonight is a Swedish nationalist who is an organiser for the Swedish resistance movement. Formerly Nest Chief for Stockholm, he now lives in a rural area and is involved with national affairs and propaganda. Emil Hugdiria, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
I hope I didn't read your name too wrong.
Actually, you did, but it's all right.
Okay, Emil, Sweden yes. has a long history which people know about. One name I wanted to ask you about is Gustavus Adolphus. He is the only Swedish king to be called the Great. He led Sweden to military supremacy during the 30 Years' War and is credited as the founder of Sweden as a great power. During his reign, between 1611 and 1632, he was known as the Lion of the North by other sovereigns. Karl von Clausewitz and Napoleon Bonaparte both considered him one of the greatest generals of all time. How is Gustavus Adolphus the Great remembered by Swedish nationalists in modern times, Emil?
I must say that Gustav Adolf the Second. I don't think that he's remembered at all. Swedes are, in general, quite ruthless and don't seem to have so much pride in their history. And one should know that we haven't had any war in almost 200 years. So people seldom remember their kings in this country.
That's a shame.
Yeah, in a way, and we have this ridiculous little cake that's named after this great king, and I guess in some royalistic or aristocratic circles, they eat this cake on the day of his death. But apart from that, he's not remembered at all.
Okay. People know about the Vikings and stuff, but I wasn't aware of Gustavus Adolphus, but quite an interesting person when you read into him.
Yeah, he seems to have been some sort of tactical genius, and he was, you know...
mobile artillery.
All this, and... but many people in Sweden do not know this, and it's pathological for all Swedes that we don't know our history at all. We are ruthless, like I said.
This should be taught in school. Instead, you learn about the slave trade and the hollow hoax, etc., etc.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Same in England. Okay, between 1932 and 1946, Sweden had a prime minister who was in power twice. His name was, and please correct me if I pronounce wrong, Per Albin Hansson?
Yeah, that was almost correct, yeah.
Thank you. He is credited with creating the Swedish model, which still exists today. This means a strict policy of neutrality, a wide-stretching welfare state, and reformist social corporatism rather than Marxist nationalisation. During World War II, Hansson achieved a broad coalition under his role which excluded the pro-Stalinist Communist Party. he allowed Swedish iron ore to continue being sent to Germany and broke an agreement with the Allies, which stated that iron ore shipments would stop. What is your opinion of Per Albin Hansson?
They are not so good, actually. First of all, this welfare state of that the Swedish Social Democrats, because Hansson was a Social Democrat, they take pride in this. But one should know that much of it were actually copied from the German National Socialists. So much of this contributions in the social sphere, or what I should say, are copied from Germany. And about this neutrality of Sweden during the Second World War, I can't support that type of policies. You know, Finland, for instance, was attacked by the Soviet Union,
had
basically been connected with Sweden. Sweden, we had long historical ties, and yet Per Albin Hansson never sent troops or anything like that.
A bit like Franco, I suppose, in Spain.
Yeah, a political coward.
That's fair enough. Yeah.
And may I only mention another thing about this Hansson? When the Second World War had ended, Sweden as a neutral country had lots of Germans and Baltic soldiers who had fled from the war. And the Swedes just gave many of them just straight into the hands of Stalin. And one can only guess what happened to them.
Really? I didn't know that.
A lot of Baltics who fled from, you know, Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania, they were sent back to the Soviet Union.
Yeah, that's not good. I did also read that Hansson charged the Germans very high rates for the iron ore, and there was a, I read a V2 rocket, but I think they meant a V1 rocket, which went astray in Sweden, and they Hansson sent it to the Allies to get the technology from it. So yeah, he kind of played both sides, you know.
Yeah, so that's the Swedish coward model. And of course, me as a National Socialist, I of course, I understand that a small nation like Sweden doesn't understand the big picture when this war, the Second World War, started and so. But I can't help feel a little bit ashamed that we didn't do anything when you know this when Soviet Union planned to, you know, destroy all Aryan civilization in Europe, and we almost let them in.
That's right. Okay, Beans, your take us to that. I was going to say, when the Soviet Union invaded Finland in 1939, 10,000 Swedes, as far as I've read, did volunteer to fight for Finland. So that's good. When the Germans invaded the Soviet Union, Swedes also fought against Bolshevism via the 5th SS Panzer Division Viking, the 11th SS Panzer Grenadier Freiwilligen Division Nordland, and the 23rd SS Freiwilligen Panzergrenadier Division Nederland. And at least one small unit, the 3rd Company of the Armoured Recon Battalion, Nordland, was comprised of a large number of Swedes, so much so it was given the title Swedenzug. Swedes are also known to have fought in the Battle of Berlin in April 1945 under the Nordland Division. You've gave us your views about the Swedish policy, but do you have any more views? I mean, can you expand on these Swedes who fought against Bolshevism?
Of course, they were real honorable men. I can't say anything but that. But I had, of course, hoped that many more would have done so. I know that the Norwegians, National Socialists, were many, they had a greater number than the Swedes and so on. So, my analysis, I believe that since this nation hasn't had any war in so long time, we have become a bit over civilized or a bit feminine. So
yeah, good choice of words.
Yeah.
Well, Emil, I did some reading and learned that Sweden has a long history of eugenics. I read a journal article published by the Royal Society, Journal of the History of Science. The title is Selling Eugenics, the Case of Sweden. And in the introduction it says, the fact that Sweden was the first country where a government funded eugenics or race biology institute was created has been considered a stain on the reputation of the emerging welfare state, made worse by the fact that the law that legitimized the forced sterilization of thousands was enacted in the 1930s. Then further down it reads, a main ambition of the network and its central character, the physician Hermann Lundborg, was to institutionalize eugenics with the creation of the Government Institute for Race Biology in Uppsala in 1922. Then near the end it reads, in Lundborg's case, the worldview was racially right-wing, and he emphasized the genetic superiority of the Nordic race and social elites within that race. In the 1930s, both Lundborg and Nilsson Eil supported the Hitler regime. End quote. Emil, what are your views on eugenics, and do you think advances in genetics can help the Europeans save the white race?
I believe that Hermann Lundborg, he said the truth. He wasn't a politician. He said the truth. I believe in eugenics, but one should know that there's both positive eugenics and what's called negative eugenics. Where the positive eugenics, I guess that's where you breed on the positive stock.
Yes, screen for inherited diseases and so forth, racial quality.
I believe in eugenics, but because the world, as I see it, is getting dumber and darker. I mean, more and more unintelligent people get more and more children, while the intelligent people seem to don't get any children at all.
Yes.
But that the race question is...
Sorry, continue.
Yeah. The race question is, of course, the biggest question, and I believe that we must secure our existence before we can look into our own people and say what diseases we can get rid of.
Mm.
It's more alarming, this the race issue, if I may say so.
I know what you mean. one thing, the Nordic countries seem to be quite advanced in genetics, and I know they have these kind of banks where people from around the world can sort of request sperm, for example, and then it can be used for in vitro fertilization, IVF. An example is, you know, the Hollywood actress Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
She asked for Nordic sperm. I think she bought it from Denmark. Sorry. So
yeah.
This kind of thing... can be useful. At least the white man has discovered this technique. And then there's other kind of things like splitting the embryo to create twins and so forth. What do you think of this kind of thing?
Well, I it's good that we have this technology, but I prefer that things happen in a way that how should I put it? Mother nature, where it's natural. But of course, it's good that we have this technology if we must use it in the future. But I believe that there's plenty of northern European people to continue our people naturally, if you know what I mean.
Yes, yeah, I do. Had you heard of that name before, the Lundborg?
Yeah, Herman Lundborg, he's considered to be a very, very bad person in the
Really?
political correct Sweden, yeah. You know this Jewish satire, where you have seen Dr. Mengele?
Yes.
He's in the same class.
I see. It was a name I wasn't familiar with. Interesting. Okay, then, Emil. Mass third world immigration came to Sweden later than it came to Britain. However, Sweden has a much smaller population and seems to be a priority for Jews, such as Barbara Spector, for white genocide. As of 2011, Statistics Sweden reported that around 19.6% of inhabitants in Sweden had a foreign background, defined as born abroad or born in Sweden by two parents born abroad. I think in Britain we're approaching such percentages, getting near the 20% mark. Is it really that bad in Sweden? What is the current demographic situation in 2014, please?
I can't give you the exact percentage, but I do know that it's turning bad very, very fast. I believe that in the last year, 2013, over 100,000 non-whites came to Sweden. It's not certain that all of them were allowed to stay, but that's just a figure.
Yeah.
And it's said that this year, 2014, and the next year, combined, almost 400,000 non-whites are planning to seek asylum in our country. It's
cool.
The most we have the most extreme immigration in the white world, I guess.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be a target, Sweden. Are you familiar with Barbara Spector?
Yeah, she's this. Yeah, I know what it is.
Yeah, evil. Evil.
Yeah.
Are Swedish people waking up to this problem at last?
Yes, they do, but in a moderate bourgeois way. They're voting on this populistic right-wing party called the Sweden Democrats. They have about 13% of the votes, but they are
UKIP.
Yeah,
they
are pro-Israel and they only focus on this counter-jihad thing and then never talks about race. So that's the Swedes' alternative and they grow each election. But that, that wouldn't change anything. Because if according to the Sweden Democrats, if a person has, Christian values, and can speak the language and like to eat, meatballs at IKEA, then they consider him a Swede. So their politics would also
what a sick joke.
Kill us. Yeah. And this we had this prime minister who said earlier this year that Sweden actually, he said it loud and clear, we don't have enough money to we must put other things to the side so that we can keep have this high immigration.
And they come out with these excuses like aging workforce and all this kind of rubbish,
Yeah, of course. He they take the jobs that Swedes don't want to have and so on. But he actually, like I said, he said it loud and clear. We must focus on the immigrants economically. So old people and schools and this type of thing, they can't get so much money that they had back in time.
So it was quite extreme. It is extreme. I get a message in the chat about some Swedish government collapsing in the parliament. Something to do with Swedish Democrats refusing to form a coalition, but you might not follow these things.
Actually, I do, and we will have a new election. We had one this autumn. But since the Sweden Democrats, they of course they focus on immigration, but they don't have this race issue. But however, the other established parties won't cooperate with them, so they are now in this.
So that makes the Swedish Democrats seem like heroes to the electorate because they're sticking to the position when really they will only flood in more Africans anyway, as you say.
I wouldn't say that they will flood in more Africans, but they would anyway. They wouldn't send them back, those that we already have here. And you know, they have in the elite of this party often travels to Israel, to Israel, and there are a lot of Jews in this party, and so of course it would never turn out good.
No.
With this party.
Right. There was a murder of a blonde woman called Elin Krantz in Sweden. She was raped and killed by an Ethiopian immigrant called Ephraim Johans. She is reported to have been a member of a Facebook group called We Like Diversity. Do you have any information on the murder of Elin Krantz, and has it become a well-known murder in Sweden?
It's quite well-known. Not in the big medias. Of course, they spoke about it, but they didn't mention that this non-white person raped and killed a white person. Mm-hmm. But I remember when this was quite new and photos leaked of this murder, where the body was shown. So it was so horrible for me to see.
Yeah, this. All twisted up and yeah.
Yes, so I have on purpose. I have stayed away from it. But you know, things like this happen all the time. Only a couple of days ago, you know, there was three Arabs who at gunpoint gang raped a Swedish girl in the capital. So this thing happened all the time in Sweden.
Yeah, it's genocide.
Yeah, and it's like when a conqueror humiliates the nation he has conquered, you know, by yeah. rape.
Yeah.
So it's very, very...
War booty, yeah.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, she was in this Facebook group.
Is that true, do you think? We like diversity.
Yeah, she was, because all, you know... philanthropic Swedish young girls join these groups and they believe what they say in the TV and what their teachers say and so on. They believe that immigrants are the nicest guys, and then this thing happens. So
no.
It's very sad that they don't know how the world actually is like, because they are so naive.
That's the word, yeah. That's the correct word, all right. And also... Daniel Westrom, murdered by immigrants in Salem, Stockholm, in 2000. Could you tell people about Daniel Westrom?
Daniel Wredström, he was a Swedish nationalist who was killed by an immigrant gang in a suburb to Stockholm in the southern parts. He was killed by this immigrant gang.
About 15 of them?
I don't remember, but I do remember that they almost got away with it without any punishment. Some of them have to, how do you say, fine?
Yes.
1,800 Swedish kronor. it was almost nothing.
Yeah.
And one of the murders... He has now became a semi-famous rapper, and the Social Democrats that I mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
They have invited him to their political
rallies,
gatherings, yeah, where he stands at the scene and he, you know, raps.
What a sick joke.
it's that's and Sweden today. So
yeah, there's similar cases in England and all over the world, as you know. I believe there's an annual march, at least in Salem, where people light torches at night and that kind of thing.
Yeah, not anymore. It was alive for maybe 10 years or something, mm-hmm. but they don't have this anymore. I visit these marches, and it was it were many people in Swedish terms, up to 2,000 Swedes.
That's something. It at least shows people are starting to realize what's happening and are willing to stand up and be counted.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
And the Reds, they at this march, they sometimes the Reds stood at a safe distance with banners saying one down, the rest to go.
Picture
of a tombstone.
You know, they're worse than the Muds races, the Reds.
Yeah. So, very disgusting.
It is disgusting. Okay, thanks, Emil. I'd like to take a short break now, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
If anyone would like to call in afterwards, the number is 347-633-9657. The break music is from a Swedish band called Endless Pride, and the title track is Product of Society. See you in 5 minutes, Emil.
All the walls and for all I've been beaten, pushed. down and sit in the train. Cause my love isn't for them, my love is for my way. So here I am now, still raising my right hand. I will never forgive them, I shame on who I am. They forced us to love us come from around the world. But can I choose when will my voice be heard? I am an angry wife and not product of society. Against an ethical and cultural variety. I am an angry wife and not product of society. Against an ethical and cultural variety.
Welcome back to Voice of Albion on Renegade Broadcasting. Tonight I'm joined by Emil Högberg, who is an organiser for the Swedish Resistance Movement. Welcome back, Emil.
Thank you.
Sorry to get your name wrong. Please say it correctly for the listeners.
Emil Högberg.
Thank you. The Swedish Resistance Movement started in the late 1990s. Its website is nordfront.se. Could you tell us how the Swedish Resistance Movement started and when you became involved, please?
Well, the Swedish Resistance Movement, like you mentioned, started in the late 90s by persons who had earlier been organized in something that the media called White Aryan Resistance. I don't know if you heard of it.
Yes,
they were quite aggressive. They needed money, so they took the system's money, and they needed weapons, so they took the system's weapons. Some of them, of course, ended up in prison for a long time, and when they came out from this prison, they organized the Swedish Resistance Movement, who has another tactic than, how should I say, warfare.
Yes.
We work with the propaganda, propaganda and spreading the word of white survival.
Yes. Klas
Lund, he founded the organization, and he was also the leader of White Aryan Resistance.
I see.
And so he got 6 years for his involvement in White Aryan Resistance. But anyway, he founded this organization, and I joined 2000 or 2001, I don't remember actually. I was 15 years old when I joined. And I've been involved in this organization since.
15 years?
Yeah.
Wow. Did somebody recruit you? Did you get a leaflet or?
It was actually quite funny because we were at this military shop or something.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was a skinhead. And a man walked up to me and said, I'm organized in the Swedish Resistance Movement. And if you want to do politics in a real way, you should give me a call. And then he gave me his number. And I called him the day after. And the rest is history.
So, as you say, you've been involved since you were 15. Have you been involved in any other nationalist groups?
No, I have not. The Swedish resistance movement once had a youth organization. But it was more practical to us to only have one organization instead. So we cancelled this youth organization. It was called National Youth.
I see.
So then we only have one organization instead. It's much more practical.
Yes, I agree. I did see a documentary about a group called Aryan National Front, who were around in the early 1990s. The film seemed fake. We had a movement which turned out to be a Zog state operation in Britain called Combat 18. Do you know anything about the group Aryan National Front?
Yes, I do. And you guessed right. It is fake, and it's made by the system, the state. They had this evening who were sent in the Swedish television called Performers Against Nazis, where all these political correct singers and actors and famous people, you know, would mock the national and national socialistic movement. And this mockumentary, I believe it's called that, aired in this evening. And I remember I was only maybe 15 or 16 at the time, and I remember that they spoke English in the documentary, in the mockumentary, and I thought to myself that many people abroad, the movement in Sweden is really, really retarded if they don't see that it's safe. And I guess that was the whole point of it, to ridiculous.
That's right. Very clever.
Quite sickening.
Sneaky.
Yeah.
Well, the Swedish resistance movement is, of course, National Socialist. We have a National Socialist youth group called National Action, who were inspired by the Swedish resistance movement. National Action at this time don't believe in parliamentary politics, and they tend to think it's too late for voting. Personally, I think politics still has a role to play. Are there any parties in Sweden that the resistance movement have supported in the past? I think about the Swedish National Democrats, run by Mark Abrahamsson, or the Party of Swedes. I know you are, Swedish resistance movement is starting a party, but before we get onto that, could you comment on maybe on those two groups?
We do not officially support any other group in Sweden that says it has goals like us, or that remind of our goals. But of course, the members, they can vote on what they want, but we have never, as an organization, supported or guarded any of their meetings or something like that. We lay all our efforts on our own organization.
I see. Yeah, I think Mark Abrahamsson's party went a bit sort of moderate, and they followed the British National Party, which has now collapsed.
I know that Mark Abrahamsson's party, this National Democrats, they are no more. They have ceased to exist.
I see.
So, but the Party of Swedes exists. I believe that they got maybe 4,000, a little bit more than 4,000 votes this autumn. We had an election this autumn in Sweden.
What is their ideology? Populist?
No, they do talk about the Jewish question and race matters, but I actually don't know if they are. They say they are just nationalists, but I believe that they have some social politics as well. But I can't say that they are not national socialists, but they do talk about genetics and so on. So that's quite good.
I see. So very recently, I see on the Nordfront website, the Swedish resistance movement is thinking about political wing. Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, absolutely. We have started a parliamentary platform, or will do so, a party, basically. But we don't know. We don't believe that this will be our way to victory. It's just another weapon in our arsenal. Or
that's right.
So it's another platform for us to be seen on and heard from.
So, what would you kind of work with the Party of Swedes to maybe? It's like I think in Latvia there was two national parties, All for Latvia and Freedom Fatherland. They came together in a national alliance, and now they have 16 seats in the parliament. What do you think about that kind of strategy?
Well, it's sometimes I guess that work and sometimes it doesn't work. I mean, we started our parliamentary branch by the reason that we couldn't accept the Party of Swedes politics. It's different from us. We are national socialists and they are not. And I am afraid because the Party of Swedes, in the 90s, they were called National Socialist Front.
Mm.
So we were afraid that they perhaps will be more and more soft. We must have a National Socialistic alternative.
Yes.
So I don't believe that we will work with them. But actually, this when we before we said to the world that we will have this party in the future, we asked the Party of Swedes, perhaps we can compromise both sides, our radical views and their views put together in one party.
Mm-hmm.
But they turned us down.
I see. Okay. When is next election? Will you think of standing as a candidate yourself?
Well, like you said from your comments, they will have a special election this February or March 2015, because it's a little bit chaotic in the government.
Yes.
At the moment. But
yeah.
But except from that, it's every fourth year. So we will have that in 2018, I guess.
And local elections, it may be easier to get a foot in, get a few local councillors.
Yeah, but this special election, I only believe that's to the parliament.
Parliament,
Sweden,
yeah.
So,
do you... Do you have a first-past-the-post system or proportional representation?
Can you please repeat that?
Yeah, it's like in Britain, to get someone elected, you have to come first, so you have to get more percentage than all the other candidates. Most European countries, like France, you have a proportional representation where as long as you get a certain percentage, you still get someone elected.
I can't actually answer that
just
without
okay.
guessing.
That's fine. Well, good luck with the political route.
Yeah.
Norway, Denmark and Finland resistance movements grew from Sweden. You use the same flag and have linked websites with the same design. How are the other three movements growing? And do you work with Norwegian, Danish, Finnish activists? Is there a council where the different groups meet, I believe?
Yeah, actually, it's the same organization, all of it. It's the Nordic resistance movement. We, these boundaries of the nations, we don't see them. So it's the same organization. And we do have a sort of council where we all talk to each other higher up in the organization. But it is the same organization. And our vision is a national socialistic Nordic nation, a whole nation, with Denmark, Sweden, Finland, and Norway.
Excellent.
And so, of course, and we do meet each other often, and so.
Great. I think the Finland organization or the arm in Finland is doing well. I spoke to you, Sue, before.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The organization is going good. Denmark is our newest branch, so there's a lot of work to do that to do there. So not much happened on the web page and so on. So we are in a building phase right now in Denmark. But Sweden, Finland, and Norway are going very good.
Excellent. Would you mind taking a call? Someone wants to call in to ask a question.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'll just wait for that to come through. Get connected here. In one of the links you sent me, I read about a commentary you wrote on April the 13th, 2011. It said you were charged with using language such as fiscal or financial Jew. Hold on a minute, Emil. Caller, are you on the line?
Yes, hello, Paul.
Hello.
This is Lick Bider.
thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Hello, Emil.
Hello.
A fellow Scandinavian here.
Okay.
I'm from Denmark, actually. And I'm considering joining the Nord Front.
Yeah.
What's the requirements? I mean, I'm fairly new to the racial movement and Jew-wise awareness, but I'm willing to take the journey.
Well, we believe that when people join us, they start a new life. So we are not so concerned of what they have done earlier in their life. As long as there are no horrific crimes. But our movement, it takes a lot of time. So one should be prepared to spend much time in our movement.
Okay.
Because we are very serious about what we are doing. Of course, we have support membership as well. But if you are... We like to have dedicated members.
Yeah, of course. I consider myself fairly dedicated, at least so far on the online part of the ordeal.
Yeah. But I absolutely recommend you to contact us via the
homepage.
Danish webpage. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I did put the link to the Danish site on the show description, Albie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great, that's good. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, I would like to hear, Emil, about if ordinary persons are still persecuted the way they used to in the Swedish media. I mean, I saw clips from Aftonbladet coming home to people that had publicly or anonymously spoken out against the whole immigration.
I know what you mean. They had this campaign where they seeked up this what they called online haters.
Yeah, exactly.
They had some hacker group, or they found out their where they lived, and then the media with the cameras and so on confronted, seek them up to scare the hell of them, and you know, today so that they become stigmatized for,
yeah,
yeah, they had this campaign. I don't know if it was so successful, but they I remember it, and it was, you know, Soviet methods. It was quite extreme.
Yeah, like a witch burn.
But I do believe that it backfired, because online, on many people said that this is insane. People must be allowed to criticize this extreme mass immigration to Sweden. So,
yeah,
I believe that it backfired.
Great.
And
these
papers, they sell less and less papers. And they have to let people go and so on. So we call it the paper death in Sweden.
Excellent. The death of the old media.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's, of course, recent news with your artist, Dan Park, and how he's becoming more or less a known name in Denmark, because we have more not so tight rules on the freedom of speech, you know. We actually have we don't jail people for just putting up a piece of art, but recently here in Denmark we had a national dish voted for, and it was roasted pork grinds and roasted pork with the potatoes and some salt, some sauce, and that's the Danish national dish, and the media went berserk about it, because that couldn't, I mean, what was the minority supposed to do if they couldn't be considered if they are a national dish, and all that sort of politically correct bullshit. And now I just saw this morning that Dan Park had made a poster with a pig, with a Muslim goatee and a David star, and you know, the Muslim half moon sign, and it was just awesome.
This artist Dan Park, the police raided one of his. What's the name? He had his
galleries.
One of his galleries with you know, almost like a, you know, a SWAT force, and took down his paintings and arrested him, and he was sent he was sentenced to prison.
Yeah.
For this anti-political correct art. So, you know, the history repeats itself, because in the Dark Ages, artists, they also, you know, were sentenced to prison and so on. So it's history on repeat.
Yeah, well, nice talking to you, Emil and Paul.
Thanks for your call, Leg. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, bye.
Bye.
Oh, well, that is good to get a possible new activist.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, great. I was saying before, in one of the links you sent me, I read about a commentary you wrote on April the 13th, 2011. It said you were charged with using language such as fiscal Jew or financial Jew. Could you tell us about this case, please, and what was the outcome?
Well, I was the publisher of our webpage, so I was responsible for everything that published on our page, and like I guess you have already figured out by this artist Dan Park, we have very harsh hate speech laws in Sweden.
Yeah.
So actually, it wasn't me who had written this thing about financial use, but I was responsible for the page. So actually sent me to prison for a couple of months.
That's tough.
And they said that financial Jew is a minority
group. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a new one.
And I said to them, what? It's not a ethnic group. It's like saying that stamp collecting Japanese people also are a ethnic group, or that.
That's right.
Yeah. But they considered it to be an ethnic group, and they sent me to prison.
And, sorry to hear that.
And they also sent me to prison for saying "Long live National Socialism." They also considered that to be slandering Jews.
Oh God! So what was that? You wrote it on the website, or you said it in the street, or?
No, it was on the web page.
How long did you get for that?
A month.
They're like putting you in prison, Emil.
Yeah, it's been a couple of turns, and it's like very Orwellian.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to believe. I know it's true, but it's just, we've had similar cases here, of course, with Garen Helm recently and Emma West.
Yeah, I heard about him, actually. And you know, it's going very fast, because, you know, in the 90s in Sweden, one could, if they wanted to do so, they could take a swastika flag and go out in the streets. It was legal. Now they send people to prison for things like this.
And so people tend to think it's just Germany, which is like that.
No, I only guess it's a matter of time before denying the Holocaust will be illegal in Sweden. It's not that at the moment, but I guess we're catching up to Germany quite fast.
I think so. And then recently you was released from prison on March the 16th, 2014. The Swedish Express reported the conviction of 7 National Socialists who stood accused of an attack in Kartorp in December. 3 of them get prison. Emil Hagberg received the harshest punishment in prisons for 8 months. There's videos on YouTube of the altercation in Kartorp. What happened there in December, Emil?
Well, it was... Reds in Sweden, they had this demonstration, this called anti-racist demonstration,
mm-hmm.
in a suburb of Stockholm called Kärrtorp. And they were a couple of hundreds of them. And a group from us went there,
mm-hmm.
you know, to protest against them. And riot soon broke out. And, police and civilians and so on got hurted. And... yeah, we were arrested, and I got 8 months in prison for that. And it was quite a big media coverage of it.
Yes.
So
they was throwing bottles at your people, you return the bottles, and then you get arrested?
Yeah, it was... I mean, we were only... Our numbers were much, much smaller than their number, and the first the police did was to... Our front line... were attacked by the police
batons.
Yeah, batons and tear gas. Maybe half of our group got blinded. So and all the Reds, you know, surrounded us. So we had to walk away very slowly.
Yeah.
And the police only focused on us in the beginning. But it was quite violent, actually.
Yeah, these Reds, they're not shy about violence, are they? They like to say that the Nationalists are violent, but they'll definitely do it, especially when they outnumber you, as in that situation.
They don't consider them brave. I believe that they are like hyenas or something, because they are very opportunistic when they attack. I don't believe that they would have done the same thing we did.
No.
Maybe, you know, like a sneak attack and then quickly run away. But, I mean, we... the battle was for maybe half an hour or something until we had had to flee from the police.
Mm. Was you arrested at the scene, or?
We had parked our cars maybe 1.5 kilometers away, and we was on our way to our cars, but loyal citizen had seen our cars and reported it to the police. So we got arrested by our cars.
Right. So, and others from Swedish Resistance were young offenders and served community service sentences. This is unpaid work, compulsory. How are the activists now? Are they still in the resistance movement? Are they doing well?
Yes, they are. Some of them, of these people who were in this group, wasn't members of our organization. They were, fringe people or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they of course, got scared away. But the members of our organization who was at this riot, they got very motivated, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say that it was. They believed it was quite fun.
Yep. Well, it is a buzz.
Yeah.
You know, because the adrenaline and this kind of thing, and you know you're in the right because you're standing up for your people. You know.
Yeah.
What are they doing? They're standing up for the expo and the Antifa, standing up for, I don't know. To be their own people to be invited, the women to be raped. I'll never understand how they think, you know.
No, I believe most of them don't consider themselves whites, and some of them are, of course, Jews. And they, of course, have their agenda. So,
yes,
but it's I have also very hard to understand how these people.
I think that's what the dreadlocks is all about, isn't it? These white dreadlocks with the Antifa. Yeah. Pretty pathetic. How was you treated in prison by the authorities, and was there lots of support from nationalists in Sweden?
For this riot, I never came to a real prison. I was in this jail all the time because there were so many days in court, and so I was never transferred to a real prison. So I was in this jail.
Oh.
And I believe that Swedish jails are quite hard. People are very isolated, and so I didn't have any contact with other people except from letters. And I got a lot of letters, not only from Sweden, but actually from all of Northern Europe, including Germany and so.
Great.
So I was, it was very motivating.
Mm.
And
I can hear in your voice.
One should know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one should know that if you have comrades who are sentenced to prison, send them letters, please, because it's helping the fighting spirit very much.
Absolutely. What is planned for the Swedish resistance movement in the next 6 months?
Well, like I mentioned, or perhaps it was you who mentioned it, we have this parliamentary branch that we must keep building on, and then we also plan this maybe in the beginning of next year we have a pod radio that we will launch. And in the future, also web TV.
Okay. That will be good.
Anyway, that's what I'm involved in. I don't know. I can't speak for other parts of the organization.
Very much involved with the media side and propaganda side.
Yeah. So that's what I will do at least in the next coming 6 months.
Great. I've saw some of the videos of the resistance movement, and they're very well put together.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. How can people support your movement?
Well, if they live in a nation where we are, where we exist, they can, of course, join us. if they don't and still want to help us, they can help our webpage, they can write for us. And of course, we always need money. If, we always need that.
Banners, leaflets, all cost money.
Yeah, yeah. We don't get any financial help like other parties or organizations. Mm. So it's all.
And the main website is quite easy to find. It's nordfront.se, right?
Yes.
Great. Anything you'd like to add before we finish, Emil?
Well, I guess people that listen to this already know the importance of fighting for our people or people's survival. But so I don't need to say that. Mm. I guess everyone know that this is real a struggle for survival, not, you know, small political wins or something like that. It's we must live on, or people must do everything we can for survival.
Emil Hagdaria, thanks for being on Voice of Albion, and Hail Victory.
Hail Victory.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Fire, land of fire, land of fire.